As we think about going through the Lord's Prayer, I read a story this past week. In 2014, a young couple, Jonathan and Amanda Petrie, hit a breaking point financially. They basically had run out of money. He had lost his job. Jonathan had nothing. Amanda, they didn't know what else to do. So they came before the Lord without even food for the next day and said, as they ate what they had left, and said, what are we going to do tomorrow? And all they could say was, God, we need you to provide. The next morning, there was a knock at the door, but as he came to the door, no one was there. But groceries were left on their porch. Later, they found out it was someone from church that had left those groceries for them, and they recognized that God had met the need for their daily bread. And that's where we are today. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to pick up and continue in the Lord's Prayer. We took a week off last week for Mother's Day, and now we jump back in. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And that's where we focus today, verse number 11. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As Jesus is giving the model prayer, he begins with three requests that are pointed Godward. We approach God as Father, and then we pray that God's name would be honored as holy. Hallowed be your name. Then we pray for his kingdom to come, and we pray for his will to be done. It is after praying those three Godward requests that now we turn to the needs of man. And man is a needy creature. As we think about needs of men, we have physical needs. We need to have food. We need clothes. We need shelter. We also think about man's emotional needs. We need to know that someone cares. We need to have hope. We need to feel some level of confidence or security or stability. But most of all, we all have spiritual needs. And that ultimately is why Jesus came. He came, as Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But Jesus, as he is teaching his disciples and teaching those who are listening on the areas of prayer, he points to the Godward request and then brings it down to our physical needs. And as we think about really this prayer lesson for us today, it is coming to the place of trusting God and his provision. It's praying to God and trusting his provision for our life. And when we think about our physical needs, those can be very important. Max Lucado said this. He said, our Father has committed to care for us. We aren't wrestling crumbs out of a reluctant hand. You get that? We're not wrestling these crumbs out of a reluctant hand, but rather we are confessing the bounty of God's generous hand. The essence of prayer is really an affirmation of the Father's care because our provision is his priority. He is the Father and we are his children. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. He is the master and we are the servants. And he is the one who has given us a place of living in dependence before him. And so we trust his hand for provision. So as we think about that, I want to give us three challenges this morning as we think about this verse number 11 and praying to God for our daily bread. First off, we pray to the Father for our needs. We pray to the Father for our needs. Now, it's interesting because when I originally did the outline, I wrote, pray to God for your needs. And then it's like, buddy, Wake up here. What did he just tell us in verse number 9? Our Father in heaven. The picture is here that God is our Father. There is that intimate sense of who he is. Now, he is our Father in heaven, which means that he has disposal to all things. He is in heaven, Psalm 115:3, and does whatever he pleases. But we pray to the Father to meet our needs. That's what he says. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we've come before you. We want your name to be honored. Lord, we want your kingdom to come. Lord, we want your will to be done. And then, Lord, we look at us. And Lord, you are our source. God is our source. That's what he's really driving home for us. God, you are our source. Now, I love the picture itself of give us our daily bread. He didn't use a word like just give us our sustenance or just take care of us. He used the word our daily bread, which no doubt for this Jewish audience would have brought them all the way back to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, they have crossed the Red Sea and now they are in the wilderness and the children of Israel now don't have any food. Moses is responsible in feeding somewhere between 1 million and 4 million people. And what happens in Exodus chapter 16? The Lord sends manna from heaven. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 15, the people find it on the ground and they say, what is it? Well, what is it is the Hebrew word for manna. What is it? And actually in Exodus 16, 31, they officially call it manna. What or what is it? But we find that the Lord met their needs. And for 40 years of wilderness wandering, every day, 6 days a week, there would be enough manna that would fall to the ground for their daily provision. Remember on the sixth day, they would collect enough for 2 days, the sixth day, and then they would not go out and gather on the Sabbath day. What we find is God was meeting their daily needs. Now, I love the way that Moses reminds the next generation. The book of Deuteronomy is the reminder to the next generation. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says this in verse number 2. Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Now, notice in verse number 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. He humbled you by letting you go hungry, showing their need. And then it says this, then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your ancestors had not known, that you might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Lord allowed them to experience the need because he is our source and we are dependent. He allowed them to experience the need, and then he brought the food down from heaven, the manna from heaven. Now listen, God not only met their need for food, but then it goes on to say in verse number 4, your clothing did not wear out. Your feet did not swell these 40 years. So he not only brought them food, but he brought their clothes to last for 40 years and their shoes to last for 40 years. I don't know what they did with the kids. I don't know. I don't think our kids hardly could have a pair of shoes for more than 2 or 3 months without scuffing them babies up anyway. But here, the Lord for 40 years. So when he talks about meeting our giving us our daily bread, he is talking about this larger picture of God just meeting our needs. God took care of their food. God took care of their clothes. God took care of their shoes. God took care of them. It really comes down to the point. God is the source and we are dependent upon him. And that's what he's driving home. Jesus is reminding us of our Father who is in heaven, who has all things under control. And he is the one who gives us our daily sustenance. Pray to the Father for your needs. In the 1940s, there was a lady whose name was Josephine Kuntz. And she and her husband had just experienced the struggle of him being laid off of work. It is 1940s. They have basically nothing. And her daughter, Rachel, who's 18 months old, comes down with pneumonia. And the doctor begins to say, look, that baby needs a strong source of protein. And what that baby really needs is an egg every day. And she's like, my husband has just been let off seasonal employment. I don't know what we're supposed to do. How am I supposed to have an egg? She said the next morning, she heard a rustling out in her hedges, and there was a big fat red hen, and it laid an egg and walked off. So she went and got the egg, and she boiled the egg and gave it to the baby. The next day, the same thing happened. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, for a week. And now during that time of that week, the baby is getting better as the medicine and the proteins are kicking in. And then her husband gets called back to work at the end of the week. And then she goes out right after a week, and she looks in the morning, and there's no red hen, and there's no more eggs. That one week that they needed that food, that sustenance. That's the picture. God giving us our daily bread. Pray to the Father for your needs. Many of us have walked through challenging times financially in our life, and we have watched God move and meet needs. And it just reminds us, and God allows us to walk through that, especially in some of our younger years. God allows us to walk through that because he wants to teach us that he is the source, we are the dependent, he is the Father, we are the children. Pray to the Father for your needs. Second thing that I think we see in this passage as we think about praying to the Father for our needs is that we need to recognize the Father's provision for our needs. Recognize the Father's provision for our needs. We're to pray for our daily bread, but what happens when God gives it? How do we respond then? What goes on then? James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, there's no changing with God. He is the giver of good things. And when God provides for us, then we should respond and recognize why he does that. How do I respond to the good gifts that God gives? Well, I first need to respond with gratitude. I respond to the goodness of God's gifts with this sense of gratitude. Psalm 100 in verse number 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I give God thanks for all that he has done. Psalm 107 in verse number 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. There's that picture. How do we respond? We respond with this heart of gratitude that God has again shown himself faithful, that God has again shown himself to be a father, a shepherd, and he has met our needs. In 1967, the movie Jungle Book was released. In 1978, the movie Jungle Book was re-released. June the 9th, 1978. I had to look the date up because I knew about when it was, but I looked the date up. June of 1978. Scott's mom calls my mom and says, hey, Scott wants to see this movie, and would Buddy like to go see the movie with him? So we get in her big, long, yellow Lincoln Continental, and we drive to South County to the cinema, and she walks us in, pays for our tickets. I'm 9, he's 8, and we walk into the cinema, and we sat on the very front row. Hey, in 1978, the average TV size was 19 inches. A big TV in 1978 was 25 inches, and it came with a desk about the size of a coffin. Remember those? 25 inch, that was big. So me and Scott are sitting on the front row while Jungle Book comes on, and there Baloo the bear and Mowgli, and Baloo breaks out in that song, look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, old Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities to life. Wherever I wander, wherever I go. He says, the bees are buzzing in the tree, making honey just for me. And when you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants and maybe try a few. You know what that song's about? The joy of just having our bare necessities met. I pull the rock up, there's some ants under there, I eat them and I'm happy. That's it. That's the picture of that song. And it's amazing in our nation where there is such great prosperity that there is such misery. That's because for many, prosperity has become their God. And instead of worshiping the one who is the source and the father and the giver, they're more interested in worshiping the gifts and the stuff and the things. But no, as believers, we should be setting the mark and the attitude on this that we receive with gratitude. We not only receive with gratitude, but we also receive as a steward. We receive as a steward. That when we receive from the Lord, we recognize this. We're just managing it for a short period of time. It's not ours. We don't keep it. We just manage it for a little bit of time. Psalm 24:1 reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is the one who owns it all. And for a short period of time, we have the opportunity to manage what God has entrusted to us. And remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Now, what we find then is as we live in this stewardship of what God has given us, we will ultimately be held in account for that. We receive with gratitude. We receive as a steward. And then we receive without comparison. Without comparison. David in Psalm 37:25 says, I once was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither their descendants begging for bread. Sometimes the Lord just gives us bread. Sometimes the Lord gives us more. But what happens in our life is when we are all excited, the Lord has provided the money, and we were able to buy a new used car, our neighbor or our friend or the person who sits next to us on Sunday morning, they get a new car. Then we don't feel as good about our new used car anymore because we're looking at what other people have and not looking at the provider. This is true. This happens all around us. There's a reason why people have this sense of mental and emotional stress and anxiety that they're living with today. And a lot of it is because they watch too much Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, and they're looking at what everyone else has and the picture of everyone else's life. And instead of looking up and being thankful to God for their life and living with a heart of gratitude, they begin to look at what everyone else has. And then a thief, a sinister thief, comes and whispers into their ear, you deserve more than what you got. Why are you getting treated that way? Why aren't you the one with the new car? Why aren't you the one with the new kitchen and the new bathroom and the new carpet and the new paint? Why aren't you the one with the blessing of the end of the year bonus? And instead of looking to the provider with gratitude, we begin to look at others. And as that sinister thief whispers into our ear, we begin to lose that sense of gratitude and thankfulness. And we begin to grow bitter. Angry that we don't have what someone else has. This was true in Bible times. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, the writer of Hebrews says this, "Let your life or your conduct be without covetousness." That's a good word right there. Let your life be without covetousness. And then as we think about that, let your life or your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as you have. For the Lord himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so that you may say, "The Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? What shall man do to me?" Let your life be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. And let me tell you what you have. The Lord says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." You've got the Lord. Can I tell you? You've got the greatest treasure. You've got the greatest prize. You've got the one who makes an eternal difference. And yet we can, as believers, can get caught up in this trap of materialism as well. And we begin to compare with others. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we will surely bring nothing out. And therefore, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Content. Do we live with a sense of contentment in the Lord's provision and the Lord's presence? Is that good enough? What more does he need to do to show his love and to bring a heart of gratitude out of our life? He gives us our provision, our daily bread. He gives us what we need. Paul would say in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." He meets our needs and he gives us himself. And we need to find contentment in that. It's not in the stuff. It's in the presence of the Lord working in our life. We pray to the Father who meets our needs. Then we recognize, as we think about God, we recognize the Father's provision in meeting our needs. And then thirdly, we understand the Father's purpose for meeting our needs. We understand the Father's purpose in meeting our needs. Why does God meet our needs? Because he's our Father in heaven, yes. But what does God want us to do as he meets our needs? Well, let me tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to honor his name as holy, to hallow his name. God provides our needs so that we will fulfill the honoring of his name. So that when people see us, they will know he has a God who takes care of him. And my life is then sharing all the blessing and honor and glory for everything to the Lord. Not only honoring his holy name, but then advancing his kingdom. Advancing his kingdom. When we think about your kingdom come, we recognize for us as believers that kingdom reigns and rules in our life. And it means that we're submitting to the lordship of Christ as he is working that dynamic spiritual kingdom within our heart. But it also means that I take the provision of my life and I want to advance the kingdom so that others can know Jesus and be prepared for that day when the kingdom is consummated. Why does God meet your needs? That you'll honor God's name, that you'll advance his kingdom, and that you will do his will. That you'll do his will. God meets your needs so you'll do his will. Every once in a while, you know, you have a friend or someone who's sick, and I've even asked people before, I don't do that a lot, but sometimes I do, say, "Why do you want to get well?" "Well, you know, I've got this place, you know, that I'm trying to take care of, and or you know, I've got this vacation my family's looking forward to." Hey, God gives us our health. God gives us our sustenance. He meets our needs so that we will hallow his name, advance his kingdom, and do his will. That's why God is not here for you to live like a cat and everyone just be at your disposal for our pleasure. God put you here so that you would give honor and glory to his name, so that you would advance his kingdom, and that you would do his will. But I want to give you one more thought on this, because as we look back at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 11, we're going to find something. He says, give us today our daily bread. We recognize something in those words. We recognize in those words that there's this corporate sense in which Jesus is teaching us to pray. It's not just all about me. It's saying, give us our daily bread. For those of us in St. Charles County, most of us do not have to worry about bread today or tomorrow, or probably for the rest of the week. So then what are we to do? We do all three of these with generosity. And this is why I say this. Generosity makes a difference. In July of 1994, Julie and I were married for just over a year, and we were getting ready to go to seminary. And as we were getting ready to go to seminary, I had been children's pastor at First Baptist Church of Arnold for 3 years, and my time was coming to a close, and the church honored us and gave us a love offering. And that love offering was right around $900, which in 1994 was like a ton of money to us. We moved to Memphis. We get down to our apartment complex that we had already had the contract on, but then they realized Julie had already gotten a job in Memphis, but I did not, and we did not meet their financial qualifications to technically sign our lease. So what they did was, we'll allow you to do it, but you're going to have to pay 2 full months in advance. And so, at $430 a month, I think it was somewhere in that ballpark, that $900, $860 was met right there. And you know what? That was more than just an offering. That was an investment to advance the kingdom. I was going to seminary. I was going to seek to be in ministry. And I just have to believe that the Lord knew what everyone did, and the investment that each one made in my life, and the advancement of the kingdom, that and the heartbeat that they felt. And now for 30 plus years later, we find that a few lives have been touched along the way. They've advanced the kingdom. That's the heartbeat. That's the picture. That when God gives us enough daily bread, then we have the opportunity to invest in others to be their daily bread so that they can honor his name. Think about that couple who had the sack of groceries on their porch and them praying for God to meet their needs. And what did they recognize and realize? God meets needs. We honor his name. He used that person at our church, but that's what he did. So when we have our daily bread, we are now called to be generous stewards so that we can help meet the daily bread of others, so that we can help advance the kingdom through others, so that we can do his will. Because sometimes the Lord just prods through the work of the Holy Spirit. You need to do this. You need to give this. You need to share this. What we find is God wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. A few years ago, around 2019, at a Walmart in South Carolina, a mother, Her name was Ashley Jordan, was watching as each of the items scanned at the grocery aisle because she knew she was cutting it close. Single mom, several kids, she knew she was just watching. When the cashier stepped back and pulled out and gave her $100, she initially refused, like, no. And she said, no, God told me to do it. And she paid the first hundred for the groceries, and she walked away. She said, God told me to give that $100. And as we think about her listening to the sensitivity of the Spirit, it was the answer to prayer for Ashley Johnson, who had been praying, God, help take care of my family. That's the picture. For those of us who have our daily bread, let's invest and help others find theirs as well. As we think about the greatest gift that has ever been given, that greatest gift is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. I mean, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. And God tells us in the Old Testament, I'm going to send my son, and he's going to live a perfect life, and he's going to be wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities. And I'm going to lay upon him the iniquity of us all. And through Jesus' death on the cross, we can have forgiveness of sin. And through Jesus rising from the dead, we can receive the great offer of salvation. If you have never received that today, that's the greatest gift. And before you need to worry about trying to be generous to others, you need to receive Jesus, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. You believe in me, you're never going to hunger spiritually or thirst. If you've never received Jesus, then today he's calling you to himself. For those of us who know Jesus, he's calling us to trust his provision for our life as we pray, so that we can hallow his name, advance his kingdom, and do his will. With that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and for your truth today. And I ask that you would just challenge us and speak to us. Lord, especially those of us who know that our daily bread is here. We still look to you as the provider. We still understand that you're the one who blesses us. But Lord, if we're in that place, help us to be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.